The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it's Chris.
Ow! Oh my god, I just hit my knee so maleficently hard. How hard? Maleficently. Hello, everybody. If you're new, welcome to Chris vs. the People. And if you're a returning listener, hey, what's up? Good to see you again. It's episode 3. I can't believe we made it this far. We're going to be going kind of all over the spectrum of topics today. We're going to laugh. We might cry. I might yell at some of you like Tyra Banks on an early season of America's Next Top Model. Now, before we start the show, it is announcement time. First of all, we will be doing an after show on patreon.com/chrisclemons, where I'm going to be calling some of the callers from this about a different thing they submitted or a new caller altogether. So there's going to be extra calls. You can go to patreon.com/chrisclemons. Also, please go rate and review this on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That helps our show out a ton. All you have to do is leave 5 stars. If you are feeling charitable, you can, you know, write a little blurb about how wonderful and most importantly, sexy I am. No, but that helps us out a lot and I appreciate it. And lastly, in the month of May, I am hitting the road and I am going to all new cities to do all new shows. I'm very excited. I'm coming to Austin, Atlanta, Raleigh, Seattle, and Portland. Tickets for that are in the description. If you love this podcast, the live shows inspired this podcast. So if anything, it is like an even more outrageous time and you hear even crazier shit. I know, hard to believe, but it's a lot of fun. I'm very excited. You can also get meet and greet tickets if you're looking, you know, to say hey and want me to sign something. I'm down for that. Let's get a good pick. And that's the end of announcements. Now, our first caller is Abby, and she's asking if she is the asshole for calling her mother-in-law out and wanting nothing to do with her. Hey, Abby, it's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, we got to get to the bottom of this. If you are the asshole for calling your mother-in-law out slash wanting nothing to do with her, I love a good piece of family drama. Now, what did you call your mother-in-law out for?
So I got to give you a little backstory here.
Okay.
So I'm a nurse. I paid for my school. I worked while I was in school, graduated, no debt, right? So my fiance's sister is now married to a man who is on the registry, and you know which one I'm talking about.
I'm assuming it's not a wedding one.
No, sir, no.
Okay, wonderful.
She acts like this man walks on water. So one day she decided to tell my fiance that, you know, me and my mom were talking all of this shit about her, and me and my mom is quick to call people out. She was like, oh no, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And I was like, no, mom, like, let me handle it. I'm a grown ass adult. I'm 25 years old, you know?
Wait, let me jump in. So your mother-in-law told your fiance that you and your actual mom were talking shit about her?
Oh yes.
Okay. So she's making, were you talking shit about her?
No, she told my fiance that we were talking shit about her, and she heard it at a local restaurant that they go to.
What?
From people that you know, go there all the time.
Bitch, who do you think you are? Like Dolly Parton? Like that? I heard it out while I was eating that people were talking about how people are talking about me. What?
So I try and call her. She sends me a voicemail. So I call my mom and she's like, oh no, we're handling this. So my mom calls her out on all her shit. And then she proceeds to start crying and boohooing, saying that I never said that and this, that, and the other. And meanwhile, she's telling her son that we're still talking shit about her. So you are lying and you just got mad and upset because you got caught up.
I mean, yeah, you caught a predator. I have to ask, have you ever, I didn't mean like a predator because I guess that's already taken care of in your family. I just meant like an apex predator kind of vibe. Anyways, moving forward, did you ever have a good relationship with her or has it sort of been a little tricky?
We did. So funny story, my mom and her have been best friends since like first grade. And then I met my fiance now a while, like I obviously knew him my entire life, but we didn't start talking until I was about 20 because we've been together for 5 years.
Okay.
And so when he got out of the military, I moved in with him at their house. And it was kind of like, you know, we just couldn't live together. Me and her could not. We butted heads all the time. Her lifestyle was different than the one I wanted to live. And, you know, she has a little bit of a drinking problem. And it just didn't mesh well. So this leads into the other story of, so I'm a nurse. I work 12 hours. I was working the 4th of July last year and I had gotten home from work and she was texting my fiance begging him to come over to the neighbor's house because everybody was over at the neighbor's house. Well, he doesn't do well with 4th of July fireworks because of his experience in the military. And I didn't want to go over there because I'm dead ass tired from taking care of people for 12 hours.
No, that's so understandable.
And I was changing in our room and she had sent three of the neighborhood kid boys downstairs, didn't even knock on the door. I was changing and they opened up the door. I am butt ass naked in this room. And I now have three teenage boys staring at me.
Have you ever met them?
I met them like once or twice at like neighborhood cookouts. But so I slammed the door and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Wait, so do you live near these neighbors?
We did at the time. Me and my fiance live on our own now.
Oh, okay.
We have our own house.
Oh, this is when you guys were living with his parents.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, Jesus Christ. I've been inhaling too much fog from the fog machine in the studio. Okay, got it. So you're living in their house and you literally, these are her neighbors that are now your temporary ones.
Yes.
Oh my God. This is, so they just came into your parent-in-law's house and barged in on your bedroom?
Didn't knock. I was changing. And so I slammed the door shut and I'm like, Joey, what the fuck? Like, and obviously at this point I was so mad. I was like, get your shit. We're going over. So we go over to the neighbor's house where his mommy is, who's been begging him to come over this entire time.
Oh, there are about to be some fireworks on the 4th of July. Let me tell you this. Kaboom. I am seated.
I get over there and his mom proceeds to ask me what's wrong. And I said, I'm fucking pissed off. And she goes, why? I said, do you want to act like you didn't send those boys over there? And then she's like, I didn't do that. And I said, meanwhile, I've seen your son's phone and I've seen how many text messages you've been sending him. Like, get out of my face.
Oh my God. Not the fucking girl. If you're gonna fucking lie to someone's face, don't have it in their fiance's phone physically written out. Oh my God. I mean, she would make a terrible fucking criminal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I grabbed a beer out of the cooler and then I walked my happy ass back over to the house and I laid down and I watched TV.
And as you should, as the 4th of July was intended, does this cause tension between you and your husband, the fact that you don't get along with his mom?
It has. We've gotten in many fights over it. However, since we have moved out, it's gotten better and I'm still seeing a therapist. I actually went today.
Okay, work.
And I am working through my own stuff with her. We have an okay relationship now. I mean, obviously, we have to see each other on holidays and things like that, but I just choose not to involve myself in much of their lives other than what is, like, required per relationship stuff.
Got it. Does he ever, like, see what you're talking about? Does he ever, like, stand up for you?
Yeah, he does sometimes. It took a while, but he started to now.
Okay, and how does she handle with that? Does that, like, piss her off even more?
Yeah, she doesn't do well with it. I think it's more of a He's the firstborn, so he's like the baby.
Oh, he's like important. He's like the VIP of the family.
Absolutely. He's the golden child. Like, he shits rainbows and he does everything the way it should be done. So he's gotten better at it, but it's still, you know, like, she still gives us attitude when, you know, we say no to coming to things. And it's just like, we're not living with you anymore. We don't have to be at every single family event that you host or every single time you have dinner at your house. Like, we're grown ass adults.
Yeah. And that's what, like, is hard about, like, family is that, like, I think a lot of people think because it's family, you have to always do what the other says and this and that. But if you think about it in terms of, like, if I didn't know this person outside of this relationship, I would not be friends with them. I would not want them around. I don't think you're the asshole for calling your mother-in-law out. I mean, based off of the two little events that we heard, I just, it's hard to feel like you wouldn't be the asshole for doing this, you know? Do you think you're the asshole?
No, I just think I'm the one that's brave enough to call everybody out on their bullshit.
Got it. You're like, no, I came into this asking, but I just wanted to air my shit out, which I honestly respect and thank you for your service.
My mama didn't raise no bitch.
And that's that. I mean, I think that's a perfect way to wrap this one up. Your mother didn't raise no bitch. Well, it sounds like your mother raises the hell and then no bitch.
Absolutely.
Wow. I'm kind of obsessed and I would watch this on TLC. Just saying. If you guys want to write up a little pitch to get this on television.
It would be a great time. Lots of views.
No,
high
ratings. No, I'm telling you, I would be like sat on the couch watching this. Well, good luck. When is the wedding? Is she like just so against? Is she against the wedding?
Oh, well, she's only against the wedding because I want to go to an island, preferably St. Lucia, where she can't be involved.
And also where I'm pretty sure your brother-in-law cannot travel to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's, you
not
might.
If there's kids around.
No, you might be onto something. You really, an island destination wedding. You really, you might be doing your big one with this.
Amen.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I do not think you're the asshole, but then again, I don't think you think you're the asshole. So I'm glad that we can agree on that.
Thank you so much. I love to share stories like this.
Oh, thank you. And hopefully share more in the future.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'll hear from you in a future episode.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye, Abby.
Bye.
Okay. In-laws are like the scariest aspect of dating. That, and when you go through someone's dating profile, you see like pictures of them and their friends and you're like, oh my God, would I want to hang out with them? Listen, I'm not saying I'm a good person, okay? But like in-laws and people's friends are like the biggest fears for dating for me. What if that becomes my life where I don't like my mother-in-law? I mean, in that case, I would have a mother-in-law, so that would be pretty slay because that means I'm doing something correct. But what? That's crazy. I am like, as a people pleaser, that stresses me out. But it's kind of cool to hear that like they had to work through it and they're still moving forward with their wedding. So, you know, there's, I swear to God, this podcast just gives me more and more paranoia. I'm like, I think it's so fun to be nosy. And then I end the calls and I'm like, all around me are familiar faces. I don't know why I was doing that solo. Anyways, we are doing another Am I the Asshole? But this one is from someone named Christine, and she wants to know if she is the asshole for walking out on a friendship when they needed me most.
Hello.
Hi, Christine. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, we're going to get to the bottom of if you're the asshole for walking out on a friendship when they needed you most. You also said that it's a friend of 15 years that was going through a tough time, and you did everything you could to help them, and you gave them advice, but nothing stuck, so you went no contact. What was like the tough time that they were going through?
So I have known this person since 2005.
And when did this all happen?
I went no contact end of 2021, beginning of 2022.
Oh, okay, got it. So you've got some distance from this.
Yeah, so it's just kind of been, you know, still on my mind the past few years. So I don't know if it's like not being able to fully mourn the loss of the friendship or I'm an asshole.
Well, we're going to figure it out. Now, what were they going through? What was the tough time?
So she has had problems with, you know, drugs and alcohol since high school.
Okay. And is that when you met this person?
No, so I met her in 2005, and then high school was 2009 to 2012. So I would, be there for her, like when she was crying to me saying she wants to stop, you know, I would help her like set up like AA meetings. Like I helped her, you know, tour a couple rehab places, but she just kept going back to harder drugs, drinking a lot, you know, spending money that she didn't have on all this stuff. It was hard to, you know, see her go through this.
So would you say that for a majority of your friendship, she was like using and under the influence?
On and off. I know that she was clean for maybe 6 months and then something happened and then she started using a very heavy drug. It made her, you know, lose a lot of weight quickly. I noticed a lot of picking of the skin. She started to walk funny.
So how did you like go about ending the friendship? I'm just trying to collect all the data here to really make sure that my verdict is well-rounded.
So in the beginning of 2021, you know, it's hanging out with her and, you know, I asked her to be a part of my wedding, what we said we always wanted to do, like when we were, you know, kids, like, hey, we're going to be each other's like maid of honors. We're all going to like, you know, help each other out with that. So it was like, you know, a big moment for the both of us. And then she was supposed to show up for like a dress fitting, no call, like didn't show up to the fitting and, you know, it costs money to like book it and all that. And I tried to contact her. I showed up at her house. She kind of just, you know, went missing for a week. I didn't know what happened. I was worried. And then she showed up again and she's like, I was trying to get into rehab. And I'm like, okay, understandable. And then she started using again. So finally I was like, hey girl, like I love you so much. I can't see you go like through this anymore. You know, I have my own stressors going on. So I need to take a step back from this friendship. Like I'm trying everything I can to help you, but you just.
Yeah. And it doesn't sound like she, even though she was struggling with the disease of addiction, it doesn't sound like she was really showing up for you when you needed it.
Yeah.
And I, like, full transparency, I have dealt with this sort of thing on a very, very much smaller level of addiction with friends. And I think it's really hard because I'm the type of person who would walk to the literal end of the earth for anybody. And it's hard, especially with addiction, because that's so nuanced and it's a disease. It's just plain and simple, a disease. So I originally read your submission and I was like, oh, this is going to be so fun. I'm totally going to be like, yeah, girl, you're the asshole. But I think it sounds like you really put in a solid effort to be there for your friend and to help with sobriety. And I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, because like, I would love the truth. But it sounds like you really were like the one person who remained constant for her.
Yeah. You know, she didn't really have any close friends, or like her siblings and stuff were complete assholes. And I basically was like a sister to her. Like we grew up together. When I went away to college, you know, my mom let her crash in my room to get away from the toxicity that was going on at our house. So it was like, am I the asshole or am I just, you know, haven't fully mourned the loss of the friendship?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, you ultimately have to look out for yourself and make sure that you're showing up for yourself, because if you're showing up for other people and not yourself, that's, to me, not sustainable. I don't know. It sounds like you really gave it your all. I feel like you aren't the asshole. I feel like you are in a very tricky position that can easily make you look and or feel like the asshole. To me, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Like, and that's what this sounds like. Do you know how she's doing now?
Yeah, I mean, I check in with her dad every once in a while. Her dad and I are, you know, friendly. And she actually is now 2 years sober, which is amazing.
That's amazing.
And I just read that like 2 minutes before you called. And I like just got over like happy tears and stuff. So I'm a little shaky right now.
Oh my God. I'm so happy for you. And I'm obviously so happy for her. Do you think you're going to reach out to her and want to maybe rekindle the friendship?
I think so. Cause she just got cleared to like travel again. So she's able to fly back up closer to the East Coast where she's originally from. So hopefully when she's up this way, her and I can actually, I want to do it like face to face, not, you know.
Oh my God. I absolutely would not want to do it over text. That's insane. There are so many ways the texting can just go so south.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do you know if she has any resentment towards you? I'm like just curious now.
I did get a text last year, just shortly after I gave birth to my son. And she said, hey, I know you probably don't want to hear from me, but I just want to say I'm so proud of you for becoming a mom. Like, congratulations. I just wanted to let you know that I'm, you know, X amount sober now. Hopefully one day that you and I can, you know, get together and talk.
Oh my God. Why am I about to start crying? What the fuck? That is so beautiful in so many ways. Like,
yeah.
I think to hear stories like this that one are so nuanced. I keep using that word and it sounds like it's the only word that I know. But like for situations that are so nuanced, I imagine I would be just so in my head. But then to be able to see something take place over such a long period of time to then sort of have the storyline, quote unquote, come to like resolution, I think is so cool to see, because I feel like nowadays, especially, everybody's wanting like instant gratification and they want things now. And to be able to see such close friends and then obviously you guys distance from each other and then to sort of have y'all's shit figured out and come back together, that, I don't know, that's just really nice. It's a nice reminder that nothing is final. Like, you can always mend a relationship. You can always fix something. It may not be this week, this year, but it's cool to see this happen for people. And I'm just happy for you guys. Like, that's really special.
When she was clean and sober, she was, well, she is a kind-hearted person. You know, she did show up sometimes for people and she did care.
Not the subtle drag, damn.
Yeah, I know. Still a little bitter about it, but you know. But I mean, I'm glad she's sober and clean, and that's all that matters at the end of the day, that she's doing well, she's getting her life back on track.
And I think that's...
I'm happy. I'm proud of her.
Absolutely. I don't think you're the asshole. I think how you handle moving forward now will define if you're the asshole or not.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like a solid ruling for this situation. Do you feel like an asshole?
At the time I did, but right now it's just like, you know, I'm in my head. Did I not fully mourn the loss of the friendship at that time? Or was I really the asshole for walking out on a long friendship when she was struggling?
Yeah.
So that's like what's going through my brain.
So you're still very much conflicted about this.
A little bit, but I mean, hearing from an outside person who doesn't know anybody in the whole situation, like you actually helped me, like, you know, feeling better about the situation. And I do want to go forward and, like, you know, kind of get the friendship somewhat back to what it used to be.
I think that's like the best you can do. Like, I think for her, I think it's got to be difficult, honestly, to have to face the people she's let down and hurt. I think if that were me, I would want the grace of people's forgiveness. And so that's how I always try to lead, is like, if that were me, what would I want to receive from people? So I think just like be tender and stand up for yourself, obviously, but understand that she was like really suffering, which doesn't make any of her actions like okay or anything, you know, like you're still allowed to feel a certain type of way about them. I don't know. I feel hopeful. Not that anyone fucking asked, but like this, I don't know. This was weirdly heartwarming.
Yeah. And you definitely helped. Thank you so much. Like,
oh my God. I mean, I don't.
Try not to get choked up.
Girl, cry. Crying is so normal and it's so healthy, like to let that out of your body and not hold it in. Oh, I love crying. My antidepressants don't let me though. So maybe that's why I'm so biased. But I'm wishing you all the best. And I hope that you guys can hopefully get back to where you were and the friendship that you've always wanted with them.
Yeah.
Well, have a good rest of your night.
Yeah, you too. Good luck on your next tours coming up. And hopefully you come back to Boston soon. I missed your last show.
Oh, I have got to come back to Boston. Y'all were fun as hell there. But thanks so much for being a part of today's episode. And I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that, I first of all feel so like honored that people trust in me and like feel comfortable enough with me to talk about these kinds of things. Like, that was so personal and so heavy. And this is what I love about talking to strangers is that, and this is such a random caveat, but I was watching Naked and Afraid last night, and one of my friends who was here staying with me was like, wow, humans really can go in so many directions. And it's really, I love talking to strangers because it's fascinating to hear about all of the different ways that life can play out and the way that life plays out for people. It feels like a free lesson in perspective. And I don't know, I think that's why I'm so excited about me not like focusing on being funny or making jokes, because it's, I feel like this is so, at least to me, fascinating to hear about all of these different facets of life and these different paths that people are on. And I think the human experience is so unique and yet so commonly shared in so many different ways that feel isolating, if that makes sense. Like when I was younger, I would do so many things and I'd be like, oh, I don't want to talk about this because like who else would be doing this? And then you grow up and you're like, oh my God, everybody was doing that? Why didn't I talk to people? So I don't know. It's just kind of nice to, while I've never dealt with someone like that on that to that degree, I love being able to learn about it in a way, you know? Maybe this is just like getting too philosophical, which is perfect because our next caller is another Abby, and they have a wild story about their first roommate in college. Let's say hey to Abby. Hi, Abby. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, I want to talk about your first roommate in college who you said turned out to be a serial waffle stomper in our dorm and did it on all three floors. Now, my first question, what is a waffle stomper?
Oh, I wish I didn't have to say this at all, but...
Oh, and something makes me think that I too am going to wish you won't have to tell me this.
So, a waffle stomp is a person's number two that they do in the shower and then proceed to stomp down the drain.
No, I'm still here. I actually, is this real or are you fucking with me?
I am not fucking with you. I wish I was.
Is this a common thing that people, serial waffle stomper is someone who takes a shadooby in the shower and stomps it down the drain?
Yeah, yeah.
You're telling me I understand that correctly?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I am appalled. I was just talking about how many different routes humans can go in, and holy shit, I never expected humans to go down this route. I thought I was controversial for peeing in the shower. Taking a shit in the, and wait, so this person did it on all three floors?
Yes.
So
yeah.
Does this back up the plumbing?
It in fact does. Yes, it does.
So is that, oh my God. So this is how you found out, was because not only one, not only two, but three separate bathrooms were flooding in the showers?
Yep.
I'm disgusted. I'm appalled. Aliens, blow the planet up. I literally don't give a shit. Asteroids, come to mother. I mean, I don't. I've heard too much. So how did you find this out?
Okay. So... the dorm that we lived in, so it was like split between a girl side and a boy side. And so the girl side, we had only three levels, and me and my roommate, we lived on the third floor.
And just to be clear, your roommate is the waffle stomper.
Yes.
This is so upsetting. Oh my God.
Oh my God. So, she kind of
smelled a little bit. So I knew that she didn't have like the best hygiene. But, you know, like, who am I to be like, yo, girl, you stink?
Well, first of all, a friend, girl. I mean, come on. Like,
we had our ups and downs. Like, she was like a random person that, like, I found on Facebook.
This was a business transaction. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I had been hearing that we had been having a person pooping in the showers. And I was like, oh my God, that's horrifying. And eventually it came to like midway through this first semester. This is the first semester of freshman year of college.
And it started on day one?
Yes. Yeah.
The waffle stomping started on day one.
Yes, it did.
I am disgusted. Oh my God, at least wait like half of the fucking school year to start this little hobby. I mean, God, no wonder she fucking smelled because she's covered in her own shit that she's trying to put down the shower drain. What the f- I am so disturbed by this.
So it's like November and they pull us all into a meeting and they're like, hey, you know, like, this is happening on all three floors. And like, whoever is doing this, like, it's so unsanitary. Like, you need to stop.
Fuck the sanitation levels. It's absolutely deranged. Why are they trying to fit a rectangle down a circle? What the I mean.
Oh, God.
And I'm sorry. Are there not toilets in the same room as these showers?
No. So this, like, the dorm, we had a bathroom and then across the hall was a shower room. So it had like four or five different showers and it wasn't like individual showers. They were stalls. So like literally all shared the same floor.
I'm gonna throw up. So I want to know what detective discovered that someone was fucking waffle stomping. That's what I would love. Like, did a piece of fecal matter just float through the drain? Did it waffle unstomp?
So they had like figured out what was happening because it was coming back up. Like, there were issues with the plumbing.
Yeah, it was the return of the waffle. Waffle's revenge!
literally. So I literally got through just one semester, the fall semester, with this girl. And then she moved out. I like went into our room one day and she was gone. And I was like, oh, slay. Okay, cool.
You were like, maybe God is real. Holy shit.
So we stopped having this issue. But I also moved dorms. So I was like keeping up with people that were in that dorm. And they were like, we're not having this issue anymore. So like, that's the first like, well, that's a little strange.
Did people think it was you because you also moved out?
No, because I had moved out like a month after we came back into spring break.
And was your roommate still there?
No, she had left literally like in the middle of finals.
Oh, so it stopped happening while you were still living there.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I was like, how do we know that you're not the waffle stomper? How do we know that this call isn't coming from within the house or the shower?
Oh my God, no. So it all stopped. And I didn't think anything about it until my junior year when I moved into a house with three other girls. And we were talking the first night that we moved in and we all find out like we lived in that dorm and we got to talking about this incident because we were all at the meeting. Mind you, I forgot to say, the meeting, my roommate didn't go to that meeting. She skipped that meeting.
Because she was stomping a waffle.
Yeah.
I mean, she was committing the crime actively during the press conference that the police were holding. I mean, God.
Straight up. So we were talking about it. Oh my God, can't believe that happened. That was so disgusting. And then we kind of pass. And then we're just talking about like, oh, our prior roommate situations. Like, why did we hate the dorms? Because our dorms were notoriously fucking awful for people. Like, people were batshit crazy there.
Nope, I definitely don't think the sanity level is at an all-time high. That's for sure, girl.
No, it the dumbest of dumb people went to this school. It was great.
Well, girl, you're among them. So what does that say about you?
Listen, you know? I was there for the experience. That's what I was there for.
You're like, I was here for the memes.
Yes, exactly. The memes. The story, Chris? How would I have gotten this story if I didn't have to experience that?
You could be a degenerate who starts a podcast in his basement and has people call in to tell them this wonderful tale. That's how.
Listen. And we love you for it. So, like, what else?
I am debating if the feeling is mutual. I am so horrified that this is a thing that is happening. Do other people know the phrase waffle stomping? Like, if you're watching this episode, honestly, if you're listening, please leave a review that you know if of what I thought that this was going to be like a fun, like they went to the dining hall and brought back waffles and just jumped on them or something.
I wish.
Nope, babe. I wish. Yeah, I think we've covered all of this. I think we're good.
Yeah.
Now, I am actually going to be calling you back on the Patreon after show because your former coworker attempted to kill a senator's wife, and I need to hear about that.
Yeah.
So I will talk to you a little bit on the after show, but I don't know if I'm actually going to thank you for sharing this one. I kind of wish this one stayed in a journal or a therapist notebook.
I don't blame you.
Thank you. Thank you for not blaming me. Blame your fucking roommate. This is, I'm horrified. I cannot, I'm never going to look at a fucking shower the same. Oh my God.
Yeah, if you live in the dorms, wear shower shoes. Wear shower shoes, no matter what. Like, don't do that to yourself.
Oh my God, I don't think I'm ever going to use the showers at my gym again. Anyways, this is, we only have a couple days till therapy again. Oh my God, I'm absolutely bringing this up. I'm just shocked that this is something that people do. I'll talk to you later on the after show.
Yes.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye.
I mean, who even wants to step on their own shit? Like, I'm down for, like, people living their lives. Like, live, laugh, love. Oh, surf's up, dude. No, the surf is not up, dude. I think, first of all, if I were just free shitting in the shower, that would be enough cause for alarm for myself. Let alone having to then do, like, the Cotton Eye Joe on it so it goes down the drain? Nah. No. No. We're just going to keep driving and not look in the rearview mirror, okay? Next up, we're calling Ivy, who is wondering if they're the asshole for sending their ex to jail. I know. My ears went erect. Hi, Ivy. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. We are getting to the bottom of if you are the asshole for sending your ex to jail.
Yeah, absolutely.
When was this?
So this was in October of 2023.
Okay, so it's been like 2-ish years.
Yep.
Okay. And why did you send them to jail? I guess let's just cut right to the chase.
To be completely honest, the state sentenced him, but it was my testimony that definitely sealed the deal. He was my abuser for about 6 or 7 years of my life. We met when I was 14 and he was 16, and we were in a relationship for those 6 to 7 years on and off.
And was it happening from the start?
It was definitely gradual. So in the beginning, he was, you know, we were kids. So he was super nice and kind and like seemed like the perfect fit for me. And of course, I was 14, so I didn't know any better. But then as we got older, things definitely got worse. He is an addict. So he's addicted to gambling, drinking, drugs, porn, anything, you name it.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, I don't think we need to know my verdict on whether you're the asshole or not. Do you feel like an asshole for sending him to jail?
No.
Okay.
I think he deserved it.
Okay, good. I was like really worried that you were like being hard on yourself for this or something. Oh my God, you absolutely made the right decision.
No, definitely not. I think him and his family have this construed idea that I am just some manipulative bitch, and I'm not.
But something tells me that you're smart enough to document everything that happened, at least maybe as it continued.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Yeah. So like, how can they even think that you're a manipulative person if you have literal receipts?
They're just delusional. I mean, they lived it themselves. He He's literally insane. Used to have screaming matches with his mom, his sister, literally anyone he could pick a fight with. Like, they experienced it firsthand, but I don't know, because I'm an outsider, because I was just his girlfriend, they just had it out for me.
Damn. People's families will go to the ends of the earth to protect people who literally don't deserve to be protected. That is really actually wild. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that.
Well, it's not okay, but it is something that happened, and I'm a firm believer of, you know, everything happens for a reason, and I'm in such a better place right now.
Good.
You know.
Oh my God. I'm glad to hear that. And I mean, you are wildly strong for being able to have that perspective just shy of 2 years after this all went down. I mean, no, you are not the asshole, even in the slightest.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But, like, is there some part of you that thinks that you are?
I think with the way that things went down, it's definitely hard to not have that perspective about myself. Initially, the police did arrest me because they thought I was the aggressor. So I spent 24 hours in jail, even though he broke my phone, broke my TV. Like, he screamed at me while I was on the phone with 911, and it still wasn't enough for them to realize that he was the aggressor.
I have to say, I am totally surprised that the police did not do their job correctly.
Right. I'm in a small town, so it was a county sheriff, which kind of makes things worse.
In what way? Honestly, I don't know anything about sheriffs.
I guess I have a better perspective on city police rather than, like, rural police.
Oh, I kind of have the same outlook on all of them, which isn't great. Wow, so they arrested you first? Because what, you were fighting back? I mean, like, how could they even make that mistake? Was he even injured?
No, he was not injured in the slightest. I actually didn't even touch him. I had a pocket knife on me for protection.
Well, yeah.
I didn't touch him. I did hold it at one point, and he grabbed it by the blade and pointed it at me. And they still arrested me.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm so glad that you're okay. I'm so glad that you've made it to the other side of this situation. Wow, you are incredibly brave, and I am so sorry that this happened.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And just now, I would really like to act as an advocate for people who've gone through domestic violence and even people who have had similar experiences with the police. I'm an artist, so I choose to use my voice and my artwork to advocate.
Wow. I mean, you have a wisdom that is, like, I don't know how old you are, but I can guarantee it's years beyond you. Like, the outlook that you are able to have after all of this is really fucking cool, honestly. Like, I'm proud of you. I don't know you at all, but I am proud of you.
Thank you. That really means a lot, especially coming from you. I've watched you since I was, like, 16, so we're going on, like, almost a decade now.
Oh my God, don't say that, girl. Jesus Christ, what the fuck? I mean, damn, it's broad daylight, I say, in a basement with no windows. Thank you so much for sharing this. I mean, I, as awful as it is, I know that there's other people out there who are facing this exact thing. I just want to say that the National Domestic Abuse Hotline is 800-799-7233, or you can text the word BEGIN to 88788. I think that these kinds of topics are scary to talk about, but I think it's something that a lot more people than you think are dealing with and going through. And I hope everyone finds the strength and ability to get out of these situations. It's heartbreaking. So thank you for being brave enough to share this with us. I really appreciate that.
Of course. Thank you.
No, thank you. Have a good rest of your night.
You as well.
It's so crazy being a dude sitting here and listening to this when I feel like most domestic abuse is perpetrated by men. I'm sure every woman, young woman listening probably has a story to some extent that they can relate to with this. And that, to me, I'm just kind of speechless that it's such a common thing that happens. I just, if... Coming from that last call, I don't think there's anything that I'm going to be able to say that's going to make the transition to our next call feel smooth or normal. I mean, it's going to be bumpier than the Oregon Trail, but we're going to be talking to someone named Ava, who submitted a story about her sister fucking her first boyfriend weeks before that Ava started dating him again for a second time. And I mean, family drama? Sign me up. So we're going to get to the bottom of this. Hi, Ava. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, I need to ask you some things about your sister and your maybe ex-boy. So basically, your sister fucked your ex, who then you were about to re-get back with.
Yeah.
Not the disappointment in your voice. You're like, wow, why did I submit this one? So when did this happen?
Around like 2022.
Okay, so within the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So and how still
talking about therapy, all that fun stuff. Yeah, no,
I would imagine that you are still talking about this in therapy. Now, how what's your sister and you's dynamic? Like, what's the age difference? Like, how what was your upbringing like?
She's 22 and I'm 20, not 19. Whoa. we definitely have a very rocky relationship, and that's one of the reasons why.
Now, you're 20. How old is your sister now?
22.
Oh, so you guys kind of grew up close in age. Were you guys, would you say, competitive growing up?
I mean, I never was. She definitely was, but I wasn't aware of it until the obvious.
Wow. So, like, would you have considered her, like, a friend growing up? Or, like, did you always kind of have to, like, sleep with one eye open?
Sleep with one eye open? Like, after, I would say, freshman year, she kind of turned into a klepto a little bit. like, would steal my stuff. It would either go missing.
Oh, it was like an in-home klepto?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, she was, like, going to stores and stealing, and I was like, oh, my God, let's call the police and report her.
Well, probably that, too.
Oh, well, alleged.
Yeah, alleged. But I found all this out, like, 3 days before Christmas. By a family friend that was friends with both of us.
Wait, how old is the family friend?
She's my age.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if this was like one of your like parents' friends. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like the neighborhood gossip that your sister is a homewrecker of her own home? That's crazy.
Yeah, so my parents, they pretty much told me to keep quiet about it until after Christmas.
Oh my God, your parents were in on it too?
Yeah, because I told them.
Oh, okay. That's super fair. How long did you date before you broke up with the guy?
We were dating for a year and it was during COVID. So it was...
Gotcha. That's long enough for your sister to know that is your ex.
Yeah. And it was just really bad because he was my first for everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do know what you mean. Did you end up getting back with him a second time?
Kind of. I realized he was a piece of shit a second time around.
You didn't find out that he was a piece of shit because he got with your sister?
No, that was the third time I found out he was a piece of shit.
What were the first two times?
So, the first time, there shouldn't have been another two times, but he cheated on me with my best friend.
Oh? And then was the second time he cheated on you with your mom? I mean, what the fuck?
Probably.
What was the second fuck up that made you realize he's a piece of shit?
I brought him like coffee in the morning and come to find out like the night before he was having like a sexy time party. His nickname, this might have to be edited out, but his nickname for me is cheese.
And how did he get that? Does he have said cheese?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
It's collected and it just appears because he's just gross like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, I know you're in therapy now. Are you okay?
No.
Do you?
No.
No. Boop. Do you and your sister still talk?
Yeah, but it's very 0 to 100 type relationship.
Do you think you will ever, like, do you see yourself reconciling with her?
Once she gets professional help, yes.
Is she seeking professional help? I fear I know the answer.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, girl, wow. This is a really heavy story. I'm like, just, I don't think I can even like when I hear stories like this, when I hear people tell stories in general, I try and like imagine myself in, I literally cannot imagine if one of my brothers got with one of my exes.
Yeah, I think it's just good character development and a good story.
I guess, but if my siblings, if my brothers were doing that to me, I mean, one, I'd be like, wait, you're a f*** it too. But two, I would be flabbergasted that that line would be crossed. Like, I can't even fathom that.
Yeah, it took like 2 years to be able to like see her as a sister again.
Well, I was gonna say, after all of this, were you not living under the same roof?
Oh, we were. We had like a year separation, but now we're back living together, unfortunately.
I mean, that is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Does your sister feel like she did anything wrong?
No. Okay. I'm going to be honest. I told her that I filled out the form with the story, just like warn her in case. And like, she tried to validate what she did. And I was like, girl, no, thank you. I don't want to hear that.
Oh.
Like, I just got out of like a 4-year long relationship. I was like,
that's almost worse.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Oh, and like her, that boyfriend and her and like me and the boyfriend she slept with, we would all hang out together. So it was kind of weird.
Did you think about fucking her ex?
Oh, hell no. He's one of the dudes that drives trucks and has like dirt in his fingernails.
Got it. Say less. Yeah, no, the dirt can stay in the fingernails. It doesn't need to transfer to your hoo-ha. Well, thank you for sharing this little slice of trauma from your life.
Thank you for listening.
No, I don't even know what to say. That you submitted that under the prompt that said wild story, and my God, was that a wild story. I just wish you all the best. I hope you have a wonderful life, because it sounds like you deserve it. I mean, at least...
Thank you.
And if you're the sister and you're listening to this episode, get fucked. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. It seems like you've been doing enough of that.
Oh.
Be a nun, bitch. Like, oh my God, I don't even know what to tell your sister. Jesus Christ. Seek help. Get fucking help, girl.
Please.
God.
Please.
Wow. Well, have a good rest of your day.
You too. I love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Consider me a beach umbrella in the middle of a windstorm, because I am blown away. Your family is your op? The call is like actually coming from inside the house. It's like the bedroom next to yours, in fact. I don't even know what that would do to my reality if that happened to me. Now, I'm hoping with this last call, we end on a stupid note, and stupid being spelled with two O's, because someone named Chloe has a wild story of her own, and it seems... interesting, because all she said was, my dad steals cars. So curiosity peaked. Hi, Chloe. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, I'm here to discuss your dad, who's got some sticky fingers when it comes to automobiles.
Yes.
What?
Well, thank you for calling.
No, thank you for sharing. Now, how did you find out initially that your dad stole cars?
Okay, so I kind of had a feeling when I was younger, because... he raised me watching Fast and Furious. It was our favorite series, and I was watching it when I was a little too young to be seeing that. But he would always talk about how he used to be a mechanic when he was younger, and how like he loved it so much, and he knew how to hotwire cars and stuff like that. But what really got me to find out that he was doing this was I was hanging out with my uncle. That's not really my uncle. He's like my mom's best friend.
Totally.
Yeah. He's like always been like family to me. And we were hanging out, and he hadn't seen my dad in probably 10 years. They had a huge falling out when I was a kid, but I didn't really know why.
Is it because your dad stole his car?
Yeah. So my uncle was like... Yeah, it's really funny.
I was saying that as a joke. I didn't actually think that.
No, He fully did. But the best part, so my uncle was like, how's your dad doing, Chloe? Like, haven't heard about that guy in a while. And I was like, oh, he's actually doing pretty well these days, like better than he has in a bit. And my uncle was like, oh, I'm glad to hear that. Like, I've always liked your dad, except for the time that he crashed my Mazda RX-7. And I was like, what?
You were like, hold up, rewind, let's throw it back, huh?
Exactly. I had no idea what he was talking about. And I was like, can you please explain that? Because I remember my uncle's RX-7. And for the not car people of the world, like, there's nothing a car guy wants more than a nice RX-7.
I mean, yeah, all I am dreaming of is an RX-7.
Yeah, of course you are, right?
I mean, love that fucking car.
But my uncle had been staying with my family because he lives in Toronto, which is like quite a bit away. So he was staying with us. And he told my mom, because he had plans to go out drinking, and he said to my mom, he was like, hide the keys. I know Chloe's dad is going to try to drive my car. I don't trust him. He wants my car so bad. Don't let him find the keys to my car. And my mom was like, okay. But I guess she kind of hid them lazily because my dad found them. He took the car out for a spin, crashed the living hell out of it, and then he put it back and pretended he didn't know what happened.
Your dad, I am scared of and equally entertained by, because people who are that delusional that will crash a car and bring it back to the driveway and act like, what happened? I don't know. That to me is like, I want to have that level of delusion. Like, I do, your dad probably is a really happy person because he lives in such a delusional state.
He is the most delusional. He has gone on to do it again. He's currently facing the penalties for it because he... So my dad kind of had a moment last year.
It sounds like he had a few moments.
Yeah, for sure. He has many moments, but he hadn't stolen a vehicle in quite some time. And then last year, he told me that he was going to Mexico because he's always wanted to go. And my first thoughts were like, I don't really know how you're going to get there considering you don't have a passport or like you also have like a criminal record. So I'm not really sure how you're going to like get down there.
Drag and he was like,
believe
girl.
Me, I will.
Oh, my God. Not believe me, I will. Oh, my God.
He was like, I will. So he tells me that he's in Mexico and we're like chatting on the phone here and there. And he's like describing to me like how beautiful it is over there. He says he's in Cancun. Then in the news, there was like a hurricane or something in Cancun. And we're on the phone and he's like, yeah, I've been helping, like volunteering with the community to like help clean up. But then we find out, me and my mom, through some investigating, that he was not in Mexico. He was in this tiny town, like 4 hours away from where we live. And he just said that. So then when I told him that I knew he wasn't in Mexico, he got embarrassed. So he didn't talk to me for like 4 months. And then I was worried, but I was just kind of like, whatever, he's going to do him.
I'm genuinely, your dad needs to be donated to science, I fear. I love, he is fucking gaslighting the fuck out of you about being on a different continent.
Yeah.
And then he got embarrassed that you found out and then stopped talking to you?
Yeah, pretty much. He didn't want to admit it. So I guess he spent those 4 months trying to figure out like what to do next. And then I'm at work one day and I'm a server at a restaurant and all of my coworkers knew him because he used to be a regular there. So they were also kind of concerned when he stopped coming in. And then one day I'm like mid-shift and my phone rings and I don't usually answer the phone at work, obviously, but I look and it says dad. So I'm like, oh my God. So I pick up like right in the middle of the restaurant. And then my dad's like, hey, what's up? Like, I just thought I'd let you know, like, what's going on? Been quite a while. I just wanted to let you know that I stole a car and I got busted in Nova Scotia, which is like very, very far from where we live. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, so I'm going to have to deal with that. But I just wanted to let you know, and you can call me at this number. but I have court soon, so I'll keep you posted. And then instead of going to court in Nova Scotia, he hitchhiked back here and then he got caught again. And it was his girlfriend's car, a girlfriend I didn't know he had.
And he was married to your mom still at this point or no?
Oh, no, yeah. My parents separated like a couple years after the RX-7 thing.
No, that tracks fully. That fully tracks. How many cars did your dad steal, I'm afraid to ask, in total?
So I wish I had an answer for you, but I'm assuming that it's a lot. Like, my dad used to talk about his times that he'd been to jail for pretty short periods of time, like before I was born. And I know that my dad, he's not really like a like criminal other than that. Like, he just has a need for speed. Like, he's not like doing anything crazy.
Okay, let's leave the Fast and the Furious slogans at the door, please. I mean, how do you know he wasn't doing anything else? Homeboy lied about being in fucking Cancun and volunteering in hurricane relief. How do you know what he's fucking up to? He was in Nova Scotia.
You're so right. I actually, that's a great point. I can't really trust the stories, but knowing my dad, like, first of all, he's very small. I don't really think that he's getting into any crazy fights. Like, he's like 5'3".
Oh my god, he's getting in car accidents that he stole cars from. I absolutely think he's getting in fights. I don't think he's winning the fights, but I think he's getting into them.
Everyone who knows him knows that, like, he's just such a, like, chaotic yet really funny and upbeat, happy guy. Like you mentioned before, like, he's not giving the type of guy that's gonna go hurt people or do anything serious. He can't not get in a car that he wants to drive.
Right. So I'm wondering if you heard that the same way that I just heard that. That's a little crazy. I mean, the nonchalantness that even you have about, like, yeah, he went to jail a few times. Yeah, he got into it. Like, I mean, you're saying this like you're giving the weather report for the day.
I am a journalist, so.
Oh my God. Well, not me clocking that.
You did. I get that a lot. Because with my dad, like, what am I going to do, you know, be so like distressed about it? He just does what he wants. So I choose to see it as a funny part of my plot in this world.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a great or a terrible outlook to have, but you seem at peace with it. I can't believe he was watching The Fast and the Furious and was, like, taking notes. He's, like, probably the only person who's ever done that one.
I thought we were watching it because it was funny, but it turns out it was just inspiration.
That was, like, his community college online. Like, that was him zooming into history class.
Literally. And he'd, like, rewatch the same movies over and over again, and maybe it was because, like, that movie was particularly inspiring to him now that I think about it.
What would you say to your dad now? Are you in contact with your dad right now?
I am. We don't talk a whole lot, but we do here and there. It was actually just his birthday like a week or so ago.
Oh, well, happy birthday to him. Surprise, I got you a car. Just kidding. Something tells me you got yourself a car.
Yeah, please don't do that. He doesn't even have a license. Oop.
Throughout this whole time?
Yeah, it got taken away a little while ago. For obvious reasons.
Oh my god. So he's driving stolen cars without a license?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what? You know what? To some point in this, you almost have to applaud it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, not actually, girl. I mean, Chloe, not fucking actually. Like, but like, spiritually, I'm sort of like, you know what? Fuck yeah. Good for you. You just don't give a fuck. That is, yeah.
He's using his free will.
I'm afraid of your dad. Well, he's not going to be using much free will anymore. It's going to be more some locked up will, but.
House arrest.
Oh my god. Well, this is going to be really fun because I'm actually calling you back on the Chris vs. the People after show, also about your dad, but more specifically his girlfriend and why you're beefing with her. So I will talk to you in a little bit, but
okay.
I don't even know what to say to you. This have you ever stolen a car?
No, I actually can barely drive. I have my learner's permit, but I'm not ready to take my road test. I'm failing him.
No, it seems like you're breaking the cycle. I think breaking the cycle is not getting your license, babe. You're doing great. All right, I will talk to you on the after show.
Talk to you later. Bye.
I mean, call me Iraq, because as much as I've bagged on the dad, I feel like he is a viewer of mine. Like, I feel like he isn't far from Clemens Nation, you know? And that concerns me now that I say that out loud. Wow. You guys, this has been a very wild episode. We've really sort of touched everything from soup to nuts. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Now, some episodes definitely will be more stupid, and some episodes might be stupid mixed with a little serious. And I kind of love that that's what this podcast is. It just feels like having real conversations with real people. And wow, the bar is just so fucking low for humanity. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode of Chris vs. the People. If you did, be sure to subscribe. If you haven't, wherever you get your podcasts, we do video episodes up on youtube.com/@ChrisVSThePeople. Like I said in the beginning of the episode, be sure to rate and review 5 stars and leave a little blurb about what you like about the podcast. And don't forget to get your tickets to come see me live. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next week. But in the meantime, I will see you on Patreon for the after show. Mwah. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.